All right, Buccaneers fans, halftime is over, and we are back for the third quarter of the Joe Bucks Fan Show. Every single weekend here on 95.7 WDAE, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman, is here. And Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Guys, the Baker Mayfield chatter's in the books for this show. We had a nice, lively debate there. Happy to share a lot of different...
That story's going to have legs, Steve. It's got legs.
Yeah, we shared a lot of different takes with fans. If people want to get even more into it, they can listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast on the iHeartRadio app, various platforms, and, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com. So, Sage, I wanted to bring up something that you wrote in your recent column. You had your sit-down with Antoine Winfield Jr., and I'll call him Junior, why not? He said to you that, you know, yeah, things are different around one buck, and he's talked about the energy and the intensity, and he said, quote, "I don't really know if it's the new players we brought in or the new coaches."
Yeah.
Now, that was a pretty strong thing to say and very interesting. I'm not 100% sure what to make of that, but what do you think?
I thought it was interesting. Now, we were out there last week, and we remarked about the enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you always say, Lee, it's underwear football. Is that going to matter September 14th? Probably not if you're getting your ass kicked. You know? But we tend to focus on the players, Lee, as we should. There are a bunch of new coaches. You start with Zach Robinson and Danny Smith. And some other guys, and the corners, and the safeties. I mean, that's a big turnover in the coaching staff.
And the defensive line with Marcus West.
And the defensive line. Of course, it begs the question, was this all Bowles' decision? Or was there a discussion that you got to make some changes?
Mm.
It's interesting. What it signals to me, Lee, just in terms of the coaching staff overhaul, it's the end of the Arians era. If it didn't end before, it's over now.
Yeah.
He's not under contract, Lee. If I see him, I'll be happy to see him, but I don't expect to see him, even at games. So,
you don't think so?
Probably not.
Ring of Honor games when they bring all those guys back?
Maybe on a special occasion. Maybe. But that was an interesting comment by Winfield. I didn't think he would go there with the coaches because we noticed the defensive players sort of generating that kind of energy. Now, you're always talking about Danny Smith.
Yeah.
You hear him chirp
all the time.
Yeah, he's Mr. Energy. So I think it's going to be refreshing to have some new voices in these players' ears. I think that's going to help.
Yeah, my biggest concern is how much say do these guys have? The Bucs still have the same defensive coordinator. The cornerback coach, he got elevated from last year.
Safety's coach got elevated, too.
Todd Bowles' son?
No.
Safety's coach. So, you know, I don't know how different it is. Now, you know, I've heard from various sources, suits, coaches, players, that Kevin Ross isn't exactly missed. But they got his associate. So the offense may change. The defense, that remains to be seen. I'll believe it when I see it.
They need changes on the defensive. I'm not just talking about the players, because they're going to have five new starters, maybe even six, but I think it's going to be five, which is almost half the defense, which is much needed. But, Steve, maybe some of these new coaches can give some new ideas to Bowles if he's open to it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it, because you bring in a coach from the outside, that's one thing, but the assistant coaches may have been chirping new ideas in Bowles' head for the last 2 years.
But they may have been subservient to the main coach.
Which they didn't get to execute. Or, you know, Bowles, loyal guy, a lot like Arians, not in the same crazy way. But you can't really have the assistant coach acting like the position coach. And so, I don't know. Lee, what do you make of Winfield saying it, though, specifically? Do you think he's BSing that he's not really sure where it's coming from? Or he just doesn't want to pick one or the other?
This new enthusiasm.
I don't know. Or is it both? And he's like blown away.
I always take what players say with a grain of salt. You know, they got to be politically correct. They're not going to come out and say, "Oh, Nick Rapone, he had his head half in Pittsburgh." You know, he ain't going to say anything bad about Nick Rapone, nor is he going to say anything bad about his current coach. So I take what players say. It's politically correct, is what they say. They're not going to say anything controversial.
And they know the head coach reads everything they say.
Well, I don't know but they do know the head coach is still the same defense coordinator, too. They're not going to rock the boat.
I don't know about that, Lee. Jason Light, yeah, we know he's signed a bunch of nice guys, the whole I am that man thing and all the good guy stuff, which is fine. But still, I think guys are happy to rock the boat to a degree after an assistant coach is gone or a player, a teammate is gone. They're not necessarily going to curse the guy out, but I don't think they'd hesitate to say something revealing as it relates to a past coach or, you know, we didn't have a lot of fresh ideas last year, you know, that kind of thing. I think there's an in-between there where yeah, some of these players like Winfield eventually will admit, hey, you know, we feel the difference. We see a significant difference.
You know, the biggest takeaway for me this offseason is, and I know Lee's going to say, well, of course they couldn't do it. They didn't accept what happened last year. They didn't stay status quo. And
they being
the organization.
Okay.
Basically saying, well, if we don't have so many injuries, you know, we could have won two more games. They're not looking at it like that, nor should they.
Yeah, they're not leaning on it. They could make that argument, and it's legitimate, but they're not going there.
Went out and got five new defensive starters and changed a lot of coaches.
Well, if they didn't do that, they should all be fired.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not sure we give them credit for it.
I mean, look, we heard it from Jason Light and Dirk Cutter years ago. Now, Jason Light was a different man back then. But the whole, oh, one score games, we were so close in four games, it's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You wouldn't say it in baseball. Oh, man, we played a lot of tight games, you know.
Unless your bullpen's blown it every night.
Even so, it's still a team sport. Now, baseball's a bad analogy, but the bottom line is, in football, across the league, every game's a one score game. That's over 50%.
That is a pet peeve of his.
You know, it's just dumb.
And, Lee, I don't think it's far-fetched to suggest that when the Glazers had their postseason meeting with Bowles, and they said, we're not making a change, Todd. You're coming back in 26, but you will make changes on your defensive staff. I think that happened.
Mm.
I think that happened. I don't know if Bowles would have done it anyway.
Bowles says it didn't. He says no. It's his call.
Could have been Todd would like to see
it. It's his call about what changes to make, but it's their call, like, you got to make some changes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, could they have gone to Todd and said, you're coming back, Todd, but we got to have some changes.
I think we can't be
status quo.
I think so.
And then he made the call. Cuda.
I think so.
Because I do know the Bucks organization is very reluctant to get involved. Like, Todd, this coach is lousy. We're going to get rid of him. Because that really fosters
dissension.
Yeah. It fosters dissension. I had it put like this one time. You do stuff like that, all of a sudden you got a Jim Harbaugh, Trent Baalke situation on your hands where neither the GM nor the coach will talk to each other, and you can't succeed that way.
I got a feeling, Steve, that the Glazers have a pretty good pulse about what goes on inside the locker room. Lee, I don't know if that means they've got people that report to them about what goes on inside the locker room. You mentioned that might have been the
Moles?
Case why they got JPP.
Yeah, I still think
and I agree with Lee. Basically, they are hands-off, certainly compared to a lot of owners in the league. But that doesn't mean they're blissfully unaware of what's going on off the lines, in the locker room. I think they got a pretty good idea of what goes on over there. And they knew that changes had to be made on that staff.
Well, what Lee said is kind of sad, you know, that the organization feels, oh, well, you know, people feel that, hey, they can't go up to Todd Bowles and say, man, this guy really kind of sucks. We can do better.
Well, I think that does go on.
You mean a player, Steve, saying it to Bowles?
Whether it be one coach to another or an executive or multiple executives saying what they're seeing on film and multiple mistakes or who knows what. I don't know.
I think that does go on. What I'm getting at is I don't think, let's name names, Jason Light's going to go to Todd Bowles. Like, I'm getting rid of Nick Rapone, whether you like it or not. I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
They pretty much, and this is mostly par for the course with all the NFL, all teams. The coach has the final say of his staff.
But I think Light would give a say about what he thought about an assistant coach.
Oh, I agree with that.
He would talk to Bowles about it.
Yeah, yeah. If nothing else, he'd be asking Bowles, you know, like a query. Like, Todd, what's this guy doing this? You know, gathering information. But I don't think Light is the type of guy, though he's done it before, but it was very extreme. I really don't think Light's the kind of guy to go up to Todd like, Todd, you need to fire X.
You know, Steve, when Cutter was struggling during his 3 years, most of his 3 years, I don't think it's any secret that Light was not overly thrilled with the utilization of the players by Cutter's staff. Light wasn't
happy. Oh, absolutely
happy with
correct.
It.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Absolutely. And
Mike Smith.
You know, but he didn't tell Cutter to fire him or whatever.
No, he took matter in his own hands then.
Yeah. That goes on, Steve. The GM's entitled to give the head coach's opinion. But like Lee says, he's not going to say, you got to fire this guy, and I'm hiring the next guy. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, he may say he's not going to step over the coach and fire one of the assistants, unless it's extreme, and I mentioned the name already.
You got to give the head coach some leeway.
But it is interesting, what did they do in the secondary? They promoted both coaches. So Todd Bowles himself felt that these guys were very valuable and ready for the job. You'd think maybe they might have shaken some things up in December and fired Ross and, you know, if that was the case then, and said, hey, we're going to let you go at the end of the season, we're going to do it now.
I got a better example. The special teams coach. Sean McVay got rid of his special teams coach right before Christmas. and they made it to the playoffs. Bucks had a worse special teams coach. Nah, we'll wait till.
You know, Steve, bumping up the underlings, at least in Tampa, doesn't always work. Josh Grizzard, example one. Thad Lewis, who we were all led to believe a few years ago was on a fast track to be a head coach in the league.
We were misled.
And, you know, I'm not sure he's in the league at this point.
I don't know. I don't know.
But he's not working out of one Buck place.
You said led to believe. Like I said, we were actually misled, not led.
You know who's doing well? Brad Idzik.
Canales, that's his right-hand man.
Sage, I brought it up on your podcast and just double-checked again. No, Thad Lewis goes from Bruce Arians' golden boy to Bucks quarterback coach for Baker Mayfield for years.
I thought he was being groomed for offensive coordinator.
He was there when Tom Brady was there, and he's not in the league anymore, and he's a young guy. Nobody picked him up.
That is telling. When you get rid of a guy who a couple years ago everybody was beating the drum, oh, he's the next coming, and now he can't find a job.
Kind of like Byron Leftwich. We'll be back on the Joe Bucks Fan Show.